Well, hey everyone, what is happening? Welcome back to the Marley Williams podcast, where this week I am hanging out with my friend Chelsea Abril, who is a business and life coach for multi-passionate entrepreneurs. You don't have to be good at just one thing. You can like lots of things. And today's episode is all about giving you permission to be as multi-passionate, multi-talented as you want to be, knowing that you can succeed as a multi-passionate entrepreneur and that you don't have to just niche down and pick one thing. So that is what our conversation is all about today. And just a quick announcement before we get the party started. There are still a few spots left in my upcoming retreat that's called the Retreat Retreat. For those of you out there who've been wanting to lead your own epically transformational retreat, but you've gotten stuck along the way, I have a few spots left for the Retreat Retreat coming up in May in Bend, Oregon. So if you are interested in learning more, check out the link in the show notes. Would love to have you join us. All right. Well, that is my public service announcement for today. I can't wait to dive into this powerful conversation with Chelsea. Let's do this. Hey everyone, what's happening? I am super stoked to welcome you to the Marley Williams podcast, where we will explore authentic leadership, transformational facilitation, and how to create epic experiences for your audiences every single time. I am your host, Marley Williams, bringing you thought-provoking insights, expert interviews, and actionable strategies to unlock your potential as a leader, facilitator, and speaker. Thank you for joining me on this journey of growth, transformation, and impact. Let's lead together. The Marley Williams podcast begins now. Let's dive in. All right, everybody. I am super stoked to welcome you back to the Marley Williams podcast. Woo woo. For today, I'm hanging out with my good friend, Chelsea Abril. Welcome to the show. Super stoked to have you.
Thank you. I'm so excited. It is an honor to be here.
Oh my goodness.
I can't wait.
We met at our mutual friend's wedding recently.
Yes.
And got to share an amazing experience together. And I love your energy. I love your passion. I love what you're up to. And the fun thing is that we didn't really get to talk about a whole lot.
We didn't.
About what it is that you do in the world. They were just like, Chelsea needs to be on your podcast. So here we are, and I thought instead of me totally botching your intro, I would give you a chance to tell the people out in the world as a multi-passionate entrepreneur what you are up to, what is happening for you in the work that you do and how you serve people, how you help people, and then we'll dive in for our conversation today.
So my name's Chelsea. I'm from Hawaii. I live in Seattle. I've been a wedding photographer for ages. I was shooting the wedding that we met at, and I ventured into the world of coaching in 2019. And I didn't know it then, but that was the first like real permission I ever gave myself to be a multi-passionate before I had ever even heard that word. I thought, especially in the photography world, and I don't know if this is true for many other niches, but in order to be a quote unquote real photographer, it had to be the only thing you were doing. You had to burn every other bridge. You couldn't be doing it part-time. Otherwise, you just weren't taken seriously. Like, you had to be a photographer, period. And not a photographer of everything either, but a wedding photographer, a portrait photographer. There was this fucking rude idea that, well, if you just do a bunch of stuff, that must mean you aren't that good at the one thing then, if you have to be doing all these other things. And I'm like, okay, yeah. I was like, you have Kool-Aid? Let me drink it. Sure. Tell me what I'm doing wrong. I'd love to fix it. And so on TikTok ages ago, there's like, I don't even know what my favorite color is. And it felt a lot like that until I got to the point where I'm like, I actually don't know what my favorite color is anymore. And I don't know what I actually like. I don't know what's part of my personality or something I took from somebody else. I was just chameleoning my way through my multiple six figures, and the money was great, but I didn't feel any real sense of like fulfillment. Like, I enjoyed my work, but there wasn't anything afterwards. It was just like, this is fine. I don't feel great. I'm mostly stressed. And any of the achievement was like, well, cool. I just have to do it again. I do it better next time. I make more money. That seems stressful. I just have to keep going. And when I ventured into coaching, it started as photography mentorship because that seems like a normal thing to transition after being a photographer for so long. And I realized very quickly, I was like, no, get me out of this niche. Get me out of here. I don't actually want to teach people this because it feels like I'm teaching you how to get burnt out again, because that's all I really learned in photography. I want to teach you how to be expansive and have boundaries and like express yourself. And I want you to have your best chin up, tipped out life, whatever that means, and however that looks. I don't care what it is, as long as it means something to you. So as it's progressed, it's ventured more into like the intersection of life and business coaching. I'm a big advocate that they are not, in fact, separate, especially for multi-passionate people. Like, we just bleed into every area of our lives, and it's harder. It's more effort to separate them. So what if we just have them both feel good? Imagine that. So that's what I love to do with my clients. A lot of them are also coming from the space of, I've been doing this thing and I'm really good at it, and they either love it and want to expand, or they're like, I've kind of peaked and I'm kind of bored. If I do this too much longer, I'll run it into the ground out of spite. So I'm like, great, let's figure out what the next new expansive thing is. Like, what would feel fulfilling? How would you express it? Sometimes it does turn into a new business, and sometimes it just turns into a different expression. But the outcome with all of my clients has been able to have like a deeper understanding of themselves, a deeper understanding of how to feel expansive and how to even notice what it would look like, and like really just create more of it, and finding like the balance and like the holistic expression, like the most holistic chin up, tits out expression of themselves in their life and their business and wherever the fuck else they want to have it. The seed of understanding that gets to explode everywhere.
I'm here for it. And that is why I could tell that we were like on the same page.
We're vibing.
We are vibing. Vibes. So good. And, you know, for those of you that are listening, I mean, I can relate so hard about this idea of being multi-passionate. And, you know, when I think about that word, is that you don't have to have one thing. Again, this kind of narrative, like this old way of doing business, find the one thing, find the niche. Again, not just a photographer, a wedding photographer. And like, that's the only thing that you are allowed to do. And if you want to do more than that, then you're never going to be good at all of it. There's this old narrative. And my hope for us today and this conversation is, one, just to give people permission to love what you love, and that you can love more than one thing in your life and in your business, and to really elevate what's possible in the expression of whatever it is that's lighting you up.
Have you heard the Jack of all trades quote?
Bring it.
Less. Okay, so for me, I've been multi-talented, multi-passionate since I was a kid. And it was just like, all right, let's focus you in, Chelsea. Let's hone in on one thing. And it was very much that. And I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, let me just put those on the back burners. And of course, there's a time and a place to like hyper-focus on something to really give it the attention it deserves. But I heard Jack of all trades as a negative. So I had always people, oh, jack of all trades. Like, oh yeah, here she goes. Of course she can do that or whatever. But like, okay. And it was kind of flippant whenever it was like, oh, jack of all trades. However, I learned this a couple years ago, blew my top. So jack of all trades, master of none, oftentimes better than a master of one. So as a multi-passionate person, I never realized that. Like, yeah. And that's my favorite thing now. Like, I feel like I have such a wide range of interests and a wide variety of skills and talents and like lived experience, so that when I get to go and support my clients or just like exist in my fucking life, I have such a deep, wide well to choose from. And the way, like, and this is what I love with all my multi-passionate people, is like, we have a really cool wide well, not just a deep well, of things to offer people. And the way that you get to offer it, because it's so unique, is so unique. Like, you get to pull from all these different places and create these really cool experiences, these cool solutions to the problems that people are having in a way that no one else could. And I used to think, and maybe this will ring for some of my multi-passionate people, is that I had to be a master in all, not just a master of one. If I was going to be a jack of all trades, well, time to go get a cert in fucking everything that I was interested in. Listen, I have way too many interests to go be certain, go get certifications and training in every single one of them. And like the biggest relief when I was like, well, you don't have to be. Your expertise is doing all of those things in a way and packaging it up in a way that makes sense and feels like fulfilling and honest in the way that you do it. Like, and if you're not a marketer, but you have marketing experience, which that's me, I'm like, I can get you to A through J is what I can help you with. Cool. You want to take it further? Perfect. Here is everyone who's going to take you all the way to Z. It's not me, but go to them, get those skills, practice those things, and then come back and we'll continue our progress together, infusing that knowledge, that new knowledge, making sure that you implement it and it gets to show up in ways that make sense instead of, again, here's all this information. You're an expert now. Good luck implementing and good luck keeping up this new behavior.
This narrative of like the master of one, and I've been an entrepreneur now for the past 8 years, and the entire time, I think I've asked myself this question, like, what's my thing? You know, and we hear this shit all the time. What's the one thing that people come to you for? What do you want to be known for? What do you want to be a thought leader in, right? This is the narrative. And if I were to write like a children's book for adults, it would be called like, Are You My Thing? Right? Like the book that was like, Are You My Mother? What is my thing? And this story that I've had to like rewire is, I think that the belief is, once I know my thing and have my thing, then I'll be successful. And without it, I won't.
I'll just live here in this purgatory of trying to figure it out.
Exactly. And the analysis paralysis, the like trying to find the one signature talk, the one signature program, the one signature offer, like the thing that you want to be known for. When in reality, you know, similar to you, I have been multi-talented, multi-passionate my whole life. My girlfriend got me a mug that says, what are you not fucking good at? Or something like that with like a little cat on it. Is there anything you're not good at? And it's like, I can learn things. I can pick things up. I'm a quick start. I'm intuitive. I'm adaptable. Like facilitation, I got you. Leading retreats, you know, coaching, life, business, you know, what kind of coach are you? Mindset, confidence. What do you want? What do you need? And I think that that's one thing that I have done is I've tried to outsource my knowing to other people.
Moment of silence for that. Oh my God. Outsource. Tell me more about that.
Knowing. I'm someone who is always learning and growing, personal development, you know, sign up for the retreat, sign up for the coach. But I think it's interesting when I've done it from a place of like, I want someone else to tell me the thing.
That's like the number one thing when people come to work and they're like, honestly, I just want someone to tell me what to do. I'm so fucking over it. And I'm so overwhelmed trying to decide what the next one thing is, what the next, how to prioritize, what to choose. Like, and I would say the real question under that, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I'm overwhelmed. It's not from a, oh my God, how do I figure this out? It's, oh my God, I have thousands of ideas and I don't know where to put them, or I don't know what to pick from. And then the question is like, what's the most effective? What's the most ROI? The best way to spend my time? And those are great questions. And, you know, we all have a finite amount of time in the day. We're all same 24 hours, but like that pressure again, just to choose the one thing. And even that I see everyone is separating things so fucking niche. And I'm like, this could be its own thing. These three things are one thing. Tell me why they're separate in your mind. Like, tell me how your brain is working. I work with a lot of people who are like, some spectrum of like neurodivergence, and most of them struggle a lot with just like trying to fit their ideas or the way that their brains work into a neurotypical sort of funnel. They're like, sure, I get why this should work. I see what the next logical step could be. Can't do it.
100%. Literally this morning was like on a webinar where it's like, make the free offer and have the compelling title. And I get it and like heard it 1800 times and I'm still not doing it. I think it would be super fun. Why not put this out there? Mini coaching moment. Me, you, I am a multi-passionate entrepreneur, right? Feeling like this pressure to choose the one thing. And then this like underlying story or belief that's like, if I had the one thing and the one talk thought leader platform that like, this is what I'm known for. Again, the narrative and the story is, then I would be wildly successful. And the reason I'm not as successful as I want to be is because I haven't picked the thing. What do I do? I'm here. And I think that people come to you and like someone like me, I feel like I have this untapped potential. I know I am meant for more. I know I am meant to impact millions of people. And like, I have this desire. And yet I am in a transition right now in my business to try to figure out like, what is the next evolution? What is the next phase? And what feels the most fun, juicy, chin up, tits up, aligned life and business that I want to build? And because I'm like, there's a lot of things I could do. There's a lot of things I have done. Masterminds, retreats, events, coaching. Chelsea, tell me the thing. All right. So how would you coach someone like me? Because I'm probably not alone.
If I were going to ask you what your values were specifically as they relate to entrepreneurship, would you be able to give me a list of your top 5 to 10?
I mean, I could go 5 to 10, but freedom and impact are my top two. The freedom to live the life I want, do what I want with who I want to do it with when I want to. Like just having freedom in my life, number one. Number two value is I am here to make an impact. I'm here to make a difference. So it's more people, the better. And like bigger stage, bigger audience, here for impact. Community and connection, relationships, having really nurturing connections and relationships in my own life. But then I really value helping other people connect to each other. So community, connection, adventure, play, joy, fun. Like my big thing is like, if it's not fun, I'm not going to probably do it.
If it's not fun, I'm fucking out for sure. That is also a primary value of mine. And just to quickly comment on that, that's also something where I feel like, yes, some things aren't that fun. However, I'm a big fucking believer that you can sandwich the unfun things with fun and still have an overall umbrella of fun that gets to, you know, circle your life. But there's this idea like, it's unfun. Be in the unfun. I'm like, I get it. But if you want to believe that there are things that just cannot be fun and you can't infuse any sort of fun or ease into them, I'm like, okay. All right. So we have for you to repeat that back with, I have so many things. I have all of this untapped potential. What do I do next? Right? So you have multiple big ideas. You've done a lot of things before. You have all of this lived experience of being like massively influential, of having great impact of, and so you've done all these things. You've already been able to cultivate freedom with yourself, time, et cetera, impact, community, connection, the relationships of yourself and fostering relationships with others. You prioritize adventure, play, joy, and fun. Like those already exist in your life. The first thing I would have you do, and for anyone listening who's feeling similarly, is one, if you don't know what your values are, like that's the first thing to look at. First thing. And so even with this, a value that may or may not live on this for you is income. Like, is income the most important thing? Does that live in hierarchy somewhere on your list?
I mean, when I think about freedom and impact, I think freedom is like, I have enough money to do what I want.
You know what your threshold of enough money is, right?
Like a number?
Yeah, for you. You don't have to say it if you don't want to, but you in your mind know what your threshold is.
I do. And I mean, if I were to add another value, I think it would be abundance. Just this, like, there is more than enough time, energy, resources for getting to do all the things that I desire.
Perfect. The one other thing that's super interesting that I often see when I do this exercise with people to try and find what their values are, is a lot of them come out very vanilla. And that may be fine, but some people are like, oh yeah, you know, of course I want more money and I want time and I want abundance and I want to have community and connection, of course. My favorite thing to do in addition to this is when you look at these and when you read them back, is there a different word? Is there a more Marley word that really means any of these for you? And sometimes it's like, no, these actually mean it. I 100% I'm on board. The play that can come from this, again, if we love fun, if we love joy and adventure, is what is the next level Marley word that can replace this value that would absolutely be so fucking clear for you? It wouldn't have to make sense to anybody else. off the top of your head, is there any of those that you would replace with anything else?
It's a good question. I don't have one off the cuff, though.
It's a fun thing to consider.
Yeah. Like, what would make it more me?
A playtime.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what I also love to do, and for you, when you think of planning, do you plan out 3 months, 6 months, a year? Like, what's your most immediate time frame that you think of?
To happen like in the next 3 hours, tomorrow? I think that that is one area as an entrepreneur, like I'm not the best at forecasting strategic planning of like, okay, what's my game plan for the next 3 months? What's my game plan for the next 6 months or the next like year? What do I want to build? What do I want to create? What do I want to focus on? Like I, for the past 8 years, have done this thing that I call, I've built a business on the premise called Just Wing It. JustWingIt.com.
I like to fuck around and find out is also my business model.
I'm just fucking around and finding out. The great thing and the challenging thing is somehow, some way, I have been relatively successful in Just Wing It land. It works, but it just works enough.
I get it.
It works enough that there's not sometimes like enough pain. Even the pain is there. Like, I don't always know how much money I'm going to make next month or like this year because, you know, but it's like, oh, I just got an email asking for someone to hire me for a speaking event for $7,500. Cool. Guess that's how much I'm making like that week or whatever, you know. I have a lot of faith and trust because that's just like how I've been doing it, and know that there's this belief or the quote that says, what got you here won't get you there. And for whatever, I know there is a next level that Just Wing It land isn't going to necessarily work to get me there, potentially.
Here's something that I will say. And I like was just on another friend's podcast and we were talking about this. They're like, how did you start your business? I was like, bitch, I was fucking vibing and it worked. And it's been working for 10 years. And sure, I've hit some speed bumps and it'd be great if I had some really cool rock solid systems that didn't buck every fucking 3 months. But it's working, like it's working out so far. And absolutely, I agree that there will be a point where I'm like, okay, let's buckle down. But will I? Fucking will I? And even that is, I'm saying we as the collective, we hear this like, okay, yeah, you're willy-nilly, you're all over the place. I hear my story is if I could just get organized, if I could just get organized and really get my systems in place, then I could really get to my point C. Here's what I do know. You talked about outsourcing your knowing before. I have tried so hard to do different systems and I've had so many different systems in place and I've given them their window to sprout. And I'm like, I fucking hate these. I hate them. I don't like them. And so there's, for me, again, I am okay with, and I am also encouraging my clients, like at some level, because I understand that many of my clients have this same like proclivity, maybe is the word. Seasonality is like so important and we don't think in a year. Let's plan out your year. Hilarious. I don't know what I want in July. What, you think I want the same thing in October? Yikes. So I'm very much like, even with these values, we can have our core set of values that live. I like to, speaking of niching down, I like to get even clearer. Like, what do you mean? What are your values specifically in the way you offer or the way you exist in your business or like your client relationships? You can have a different set of values for each piece of the pie. And they'll probably mostly stay the same, but you'll see them adjust a little bit in each space. So that's even a fun thing to explore. So when I'm speaking, do I have a different set of values when I'm speaking? Like, is there something else that comes in or is there something else that leaves? But I'm a big fan of seasonality. So when we think about this next season, like for me, season one, Q1, I had different values than I have now going into Q2. Like I was like, okay, discipline. And I mean discipline in the way that I want to reacquaint with this in the way that it's a form of self-love for me. Like I want to have integrity with myself. So my intentions and my values change each season. Of course, there's like the underlying ones, but I know that the ones that guide me in Q1 are rarely the ones that are really guiding me in Q3. So that's been a fun exploration of even permission of yourself. Like, don't force yourself to be in a time frame that doesn't make sense to you. It's somebody else's time frame. Maybe one day you'll be like, wow, 365, that makes sense to me. Or like 30 days or 90 days doesn't make sense anymore. Great, cool. orient to that. But don't force yourself to orient so hard to something that just doesn't fit. And I'm a really kinesthetic person. I feel like you might be also. When I hear people say, I'm vibing, I'm like, fucking bet, me too. And we feel very deeply. So I know fucking immediately if I'm like, this isn't going to work. As far as it relates to a system or a way of thinking or a strategy that someone else is using, I'm like, I see the merit. Consciously, common sense, I see the merit in exactly what you're telling me. I'm feeling immediately that there is something amiss there for me. So oftentimes we either push through and try and try and try and square peg, round hole, and it's exhausting and it just affirms that, oh, we're bad at organization, we're bad at this, or like, must not be for me. Versus when I do this with my clients, like, great, so what do you want to do? Cool, what system could feel good? All right, what don't you like about this? Where are you getting stuck? And we get to address step by step, how do we change it? What does it look like to sandwich this with fun then? You don't want to send 14 emails? Bitch, send one. Love that for you. We can still get the same result with a different approach. And so the biggest like heartache I feel like I see with my clients and with myself and with the multi-passionates at large is this, the forcing of other people's systems, because we see that someone else has the result that we're looking for. So of course I should follow them. Like that, duh, they're doing it. But they're also not us. They're not in our seat. Maybe they're not even women. Maybe they're not brown women or queer women or whatever. Like the whole point of us having this really cool wide net, wide pool to choose from is we have to like let the net fall and expand over who we are, not just like, let me squeeze through this tiny hole and oh no, I'm stuck. Dang it. There's so much room. Like, I don't think any strategy should be taken at face value ever. Any formula and any flow, like, no, we gotta curate.
And I think that it's so important to really hear this and let it land, because in the world of instant gratification and scrolling and the Instagrams and the TikToks of like, we do hear these messages of like, if you just did this one thing, this was the thing that helped me build the six-figure, seven-figure business. If you knew this one thing and implemented it, then you'd be wildly successful. And we all want the blue pill or the whatever. Like, just tell me what to do and then I'll do it. And then you learn, maybe again, this worked for you, and really reassessing. And even, you know, at the beginning of the year, like they have like that big ass calendar that takes up your whole room for an entire year.
I aspire to be a type A fucking spreadsheet girly. It is an aspiration. And I'm like, and it just isn't who I am. Like, I have had
other mentors and other coaches, and I've seen their systems. And I'm like, I think that what happens is there's compare and despair that happens for me of like, they have it figured out and they have something that I don't have. They have a way of being, a way of doing things, a way of operating. They have systems, they have team, they're good at delegating, they're good at strategic planning. Like, that's why they're successful. And that's why I'm not successful or as successful as I want to be. You know, when I think about, I'm a seven, I'm an Aries, I have a lot of ideas and I'm a quick start, follow through, like not as great. I have a retreat coming up and, you know, I'm not looking for 80 people or 800 people. I'm looking for eight people, eight humans. And I'm like, why after 8 years does it still feel like an uphill battle? And this is me getting real with y'all. It feels vulnerable to share that I still feel like I have to convince people that it's worth it, convince people of the value, like how many times do I have to share this? I wish that I could just send an email and it would fill up with the right aligned people. And why do I still have to work so hard to fill like eight spots for a retreat? That blows my mind. And then my story is, I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing something right. I'm not blah, blah, blah. I don't have the systems. I'm not marketing this to the right person. I'm not whatever. I'm not doing something. And I think that that's where we get caught in the lies and the Instagram trap, or the stories of like sold out retreat course. And then you sign up for the sold out retreat course, you know? Because they're hitting that pain point of just tell me how to do it. If you had the system, if you had this formula, if you had this plan, then your retreat would be sold out. And the reason it's not sold out is because you don't have my course.
I love a good quick win purchase personally. And so I have a course graveyard and I have a template graveyard and I have all these things that I think, oh, this will be the thing that really gets me over the hump. Like they're going to say in a way that's going to make sense. And I'm still just met with the same information. It's not that they're telling me stuff I know. I am aware of like we're smart people. I only work with smart people. I only end up in groups with smart fucking people. If you're listening, you're a smart person. It's not that you don't lack information. It's that you haven't been supported enough or given the right tools or given yourself permission enough to just fucking add some toppings to this little Sunday. Like it's not face value. And it's hard to do that. What I hate about the internet and what I love about the internet, I love that there is an abundance. Any solution that you're looking for is on the internet. You look long enough, you can find the solution you're looking for. You keep looking long enough, you will find the conflicting solution for that. Conflicting information, conflicting opinions. And so there's a point where like, we got to stay in our lane and we have to just trust what we're trying. And what I see a lot too is, especially with this, it's not what's the next thing. The real question usually underneath it is, I don't want to choose the wrong thing. I don't want to choose the thing that's not going to work. And what if this doesn't work? So usually, and that's my line for people listening, is when you're hyper focusing on, I want to choose what's the next right thing? Like, what's the best thing I should be doing? The fear is that you'll choose the wrong thing and waste your time and fail or be embarrassing or whatever, because it's all a fucking performance and it has to be perfect. And this one has to sell out, or I'm not a good retreat person, or I have to fill my coaching roster, or I'm not a real coach or whatever. And what I love, and this is kind of, we mentioned earlier, like the market is different. Like, so that used to work. I used to be able to send an email and people were like, I'm in, no questions, let's go. And there is a thing too, and you might experience it for people who are established, is you have your warm market. This is kind of a tangent, but it'll connect. Stick with me. We have our warm market and that's the easy sell. We may stay there. We may be able to offer different things, but we can stay in our relatively warm or even our hot market for a while. Then we'll have solved their problems. We've done it. Good job. And then we expand to the slightly, so we just keep expanding, slightly less warm, slightly less warm, slightly less warm. And so inevitably the things that we used to do with our warm market no longer translate to a cold market, a cold lead, a cold DM. Anyway, this is a much more expanded conversation about like marketing and personal branding and storytelling and all these different things. But the one lesson and the one thing to take, because I can't talk to you for 5 hours, is that everything is just data. And so we're talking about play and joy and adventure. Cool. Let's have a fucking adventure. I'm going to stick to this one thing and I'm going to test it out. And I'm going to offer it with the intention of testing, with the intention of being flexible, with the intention of being able to listen to my audience and adapt. Even before we do that, when was the last time you talked to your audience? When was the last time you asked them what they're looking for? Like, is the solution you're still offering the problem that they're still having? And a lot of times, I know for me at least, I've got like, this is the program and this is how it works and here's the container and la, la, la. Like, here is 1, 2, 3, A, B, C. And everyone's like, cool, thanks. No. I'm like, what do you mean? This is the market research I did 5 years ago. What do you mean it's not still accurate? So even that, like the willingness to continually be learning, like the expertise for me and the people that I follow, the people that I continue to follow, expertise comes from being the student always. Like it's not from like suddenly being the master or the person who does this thing. It's this adaptability. So right now, like this market is different. And in every fucking industry, I see people telling stories or sharing with me, like things are different. Like everything that I used to be able to do isn't working. I'm doing everything that's tried and true. This is my bread and butter shit. Diminished returns, if any returns at all. So what the fuck is happening? And the people who are in that, like when we start to panic, we just get into tunnel vision. So they're like, oh my God, it's not working. It's not working. It's not working. But it should, but it should, but it should. And they're just saying like, I don't understand. Like the next step, if you are there and if you're like, yeah, bitch, tell me more. Like, this is what I'm experiencing. Tell me more. What do I do? The next thing is to just take a step and go talk to your audience. Like go, what is it? Check up from the neck up. Like go put your ego, put it on the table. Say, thank you for trying. I'm doing my best, even though what I'm doing is not working. So what can I try that's new? If you are a person like, I'm a multi-passionate creative and I solve problems for people. What fucking problems am I solving? And when you go and ask, like, do polls on Instagram, like you can do a type form or like do a Google Sheets or whatever, like go poll your favorite clients, like your rave clients, but just get a reading, like a temp check on what is actually happening instead of just guessing. So often, like, when people are overthinking, like what I'm overthinking, when my clients are overthinking, I know for me, I get into a vacuum and I'm just like, ah, and it's just TV static. Every idea I've ever had and every reason it could work or couldn't work is just in here. And I'm just staring at my screen, not doing anything versus leaning on data. What does the data say? Like, have you asked? Do you know? And in this like vacuum, in this TV static of overwhelm, most often I see people only relying on their own information and not even their own intuition. That's locked. That's gone. We're so overwhelmed that it's just like, what is the information I know? And what can I possibly do to fix this? People are scared to say that they don't know how to fix it. Like, especially people who've been experts and been at the top of their, like, I don't want to look like I don't know what I'm doing. I don't want to say that I only have 3 clients. I'm supposed to have 15. I don't want to say I have 2 seats in my retreat. There's fucking 8. Like, oh my God. Instead of just being like, great, that's not working. Cool. Why isn't it working? What are you guys looking for? What are you struggling with? And if we dumb it down all the way to the basics, our ego says, I don't want to look stupid. I don't want to look like I don't know what I'm doing. Because if I don't know what I'm doing, how am I supposed to sell these other seats? If I'm just like, by the way, I don't know what I'm doing. LOL, hire me now. That'll be $1,000. But it's the growth mindset that says, and like I personally, my buying type, I am much more willing to buy from someone who actually wants to solve my problem and isn't just giving me a solution that they think will work because they've typecasted me. I'm like, no, that's not actually my problem. It was maybe in 2020, but it's different now. That's not my problem anymore.
Yeah. And I think that this point of getting in conversation and connection with your crew, community, connection, relationships, reaching out, you know, and I think that that one-on-one, I mean, it's such a noisy world out there. And so how do we break through the noise when there's so much coming at people and so much information and so many offers? And I think that people are almost like in the decision fatigue that happens for entrepreneurs, but like the decision fatigue around being a buyer of, okay, well, if there's all these retreats or there's all these courses, there's all these coaching offer programs, like, fuck it, I'm not going to do any of it.
I want to choose the right one, AKA, I don't want to make a bad decision and waste my money and hire someone who doesn't know what they're doing.
Right. It's interesting what the stories are because I'm like, well, I feel like people come to me and they're like, Marley, I want to lead my own retreat, but I've never done it before. And I don't know where to start. And I'm like, cool. I created this thing called the retreat where you get to come on retreat with me and design and launch your own transformational retreat. And here's the other thing is like, I have had people reach out saying, I can't come in person. Will you do this virtually? And one of the things that I value is like doing this in person. And I did this retreat in fall. I invited people to bring a 20 to 30 minute exercise or activity that they would facilitate while at the retreat to get feedback from their peers, not necessarily on the content, but on their leadership, their presence, their vibe, their personality, their tone, like how did it land? And also getting people confident and comfortable leading interactive activities and giving them feedback on how to do that, not just like new content, right? Because if it's a transformational retreat, so there's a facilitation training element to it. How would I even do that virtually? I know I could maybe find a way, but one of the things that I value is travel, adventure, fun, play, and like being in a big, beautiful house in Bend, Oregon, like that's my vibe with like delicious food and being in the same room together and the energy vortex that gets created when you're at night in the hot tub, like doing hot tub time machine, right? And I get that not everyone, whatever, can or wants to take that 5 days away. But I also know that, well, that's my offering. You don't want it? There's a million other online courses that you could do on how to lead a retreat. Tell me if it works. But everybody who came to my retreat is leading their own damn retreat. Brittany is leaving on Saturday to go to Puerto Vallarta, leading her first international retreat. And she put the deposit down while we were at the retreat in November. She freaking did the thing. Megan has a full retreat coming up in May. Like, it fucking works. And the second time putting out the retreat 2.0, I was like, oh, it's going to sell out right away. It'll be so easy. And then when it's not, it's like, oh, damn it. And all these people who didn't do it in the fall, they're like, tell me when the next one is. And I told them when the next one is. They're like, I can't do that one either.
My quick question, how many people that came to the first retreat were people in your inner circle?
I would say most of them had been following me for a year or more. And one person, I think I hadn't met in person at all. Of the eight. So it was eight people that time too.
Cool. That's great data. Most of the people that came to the first one who were willing to take the 5-day investment. Cool. I know enough about her. I trust her. Like, I'm ready. We're in it. Cool. And this is again, you can reject anything. It's like, fuck it. No, only doing these in person. This is the Marley way. Absolutely. Like, keep it. But the things that people can explore. So if you feel like Marley and you're like, this is the way I've been doing it. And this is the way I want to do it. And I see all the reasons why this should be the way. And like, I could pitch it to the moon. Like, it's in person. Like, there's all that extra magic, this and that. We can also, and again, I say this with all my love, is we can also come back and look at the values. Like, I want to have impact, wide impact. I want to create community and connection. I want to have these different things. I want to have abundance. So if we were playing a game, we could say, great, does your 8-person model support your wide impact, your goals of wide impact, or your values of wide impact? Yes or no? You can go down these lists and see, okay, I love this offer and I know that does a thing. And also, is there maybe, maybe not, a different way to still facilitate some of the experience? So for people who can't go, like, I love this retreat. I'm a big fan of in-person things too. Like, there's definitely something in the water when you go to an in-person retreat that's so different than doing something online. But there is room to say, okay, cool. Do I want to expand? I'm a multi-passionate person. Again, these are all just questions for inquiry. Is the reason I don't want to do something online is because I don't believe in myself to be able to facilitate the same impact online? Or do I, what else do I believe? Or why do I think that this has to be the way? And they're just questions for inquiry to decide, oh, well, I could maybe do this part of day one as the intro where people could start to build it up or whatever, right? This is what the space that I like to hold for my clients who are in this decision fatigue and are feeling like it's kind of like this grab, like, this is what it's supposed to be though. But if what it's supposed to be isn't quite working, like, one, there's a thousand different ways to solve that problem. But I also know for multi-passionate people is when we're like squeezing, there's a lot of energy that goes into holding on to what it should be, that we, once we can release a little bit and look for a little bit of room, way more solutions come in, way more access to our own creativity, our own magic, when we're like, okay, I know that I love this thing. I know I love this first iteration. If I'm not getting the result that I want, what am I willing to explore? What am I willing to try? And even with that, like, have we asked our audience why they're not? Is it just a matter that they can't come on the dates? Is it the location? Is it the number of days? Like, maybe it's the 5-day culmination. Maybe they're super, super shy. All of these different reasons that we could fucking make up until the cows come home, unless we just start to like pull. Great. Like, when you're looking at a retreat, what are you actually looking for? Is it a matter of time off? Do you have kids? Like, the stories we can make up in our own vacuum are real creative and they're real in depth.
Well, the biggest story for me that I think gets me stuck is people don't see the value, AKA I'm not valuable. There's something that I'm not doing or saying that is enough of a reason for someone to be like, oh yeah, if I want to put on a retreat, and I've had this dream and desire for years and years, and I still haven't done it. And I have all these courses in my little like Google folder somewhere that I've never done. And I have all the templates, but I've never sent anything. I need to go in person in real life and like do this thing. Yeah. So like, I think when I create something that feels like an expression of who I am in alignment, you know, and I get that there's other ways of making impact. And like, this is not the only way. It's a way. But I think I do the compare and despair where I see other people putting out a retreat and then they sell out in 24 hours. And I'm like, what do they have that I don't? Or what are they doing that I don't? That's where I go. And if I did that thing or had that thing, or it's like, yeah, people don't trust me enough, or people don't value that I've been leading retreats for the past 20 years and have like an in-depth understanding of like how to do it. Anyway, it's just interesting, like the places that we go.
And it's very emotional. Like, I want to acknowledge, like, it is a fucking bummer to get into the compare and despair, because it's hard to get out of it. You're just like, oh my God, it must be me. It must be me. And there's a difference between like, oh fuck, it must be me. Something's wrong with me, versus, okay, what is me? Because I'm in my own vacuum. What data could I pull from this? If this was just data, what can I extrapolate from this scenario that I am comparing myself to? Okay, cool. Well, oh, they do email marketing, or they do, I don't know, whatever, right? You can find all the reasons, and then you can say, great, I don't have to do it exactly like them. Again, with the internet, if you look far and wide enough, there is someone succeeding exactly like you, exactly the way that you're doing it. It's just a matter of being willing to adapt or just try new things. So even here, like, oh, cool, it's not working. What could I try? My consulting brain is now thinking of you. I'm like, all right, if someone is like, I want to run a retreat, I can't go for 5 days, I can't do this, can I hire you? Can you, as Marley, the master facilitator, can you create a bespoke option that says, okay, can you come to me, or can I come to you? Yes, no, yes, no. Okay, great. No there? Perfect. Maybe I'll beta test a virtual with you. It'll be the same price, but if cost or if location or time off is your only thing and you can't travel, great. Let me take a day. Let me take a beat. Let me see if there's something that I could create in alignment with what you're, the transformation you're looking for, and you know what I'm able to realistically offer. So even there's a room of testing there. Like, okay, I don't actually know if this will be just as good if I do it virtually. We can't know until we test it. So maybe there's a person you're like, let me test a 1 day, let me test a 2 day, let me test a 3 day. It'll be the same price. And that's what I love too. Like, is more often than not, we are telling ourselves a story and we're fucking living in it. My favorite thing is just to be gentle with yourself. Like, it is scary, and it's a big bad world out there for entrepreneurs. And can we sandwich that discomfort with a little bit of joy, a little bit of play? What if I could just play with this? What if I could still, maybe I don't make all the money that I need to, but what I could play with this, and I could get the testing, if I could get the information. What if I could just talk to my audience like people and let them give me their own true and honest and empowered answers, because they are all honest and empowered people.
One of the mantras that I offer as we wrap for today is just that it's permission and a reminder to myself that everything is just a giant experiment. And there's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with you. And it's like, and I know that just like outsourcing my knowing, I need to insource my own sense of worth and value of like, I know the value in this experience. And I know that this is the thing that I want to offer. And I know that it works. I also need to believe in that, even if at times I'm not seeing like the immediate, again, instant gratification results. It's like, okay, it's like data. I've sent one email, but I'm like, but it's my cover page on my Facebook profile. Everyone has seen it, you know? As we wrap for today, this conversation around how to be successful in the world as a multi-passionate person, entrepreneur who has lots of different interests, what would you want to leave them with? And then where can people find you and learn more about your incredible work in the world?
I am a big believer, and this is my own thing that I just have to remember. I get in my own vacuums of like telling my own stories and like digging my own trenches and be like, I live here now. But I don't think that any of us, especially multi-passionate people, especially people who think differently than others, like, we're not meant to solve our own problems by ourselves. There's a lot of room to do it, and we can be islands, but like, we aren't islands. So even finding other people who, like, finding the community and finding the connection and fostering the relationships that matter to you, let them fit into your life in a way that makes sense to you. You decide. Again, there's no one particular flavor that this ice cream sundae of your life has to be. You build it. You decide what goes on it. We're not meant to solve these problems on our own, and we cause ourselves so much unnecessary heartache forcing ourselves to do it alone, living the lie that, like, well, I should be able to do this by myself. So reach out to your people for help. Like if hiring a coach like Marley or I sounds like a cool thing for you, go inquire with us. Tell us the problems that you're having and we can tell you if there's a way we can solve them. Like we want to know what's going on. We want to be supportive. We want to help. I have my own coach. Listen, I am not raw dogging this on my own. This is not, no, I am being supported. Okay. That is my favorite thing, is to be supported. But there's no right way. There's nothing wrong with you. It's not a performance. We're just fucking around and finding out. It's not that serious. Let it be an exploration. And I fucking bet, I would double down, I'll put my money on it, that once you lean into your own honesty, speak from your magic, maybe a little bit after the mess is happening or maybe during it, but people vibe with your honesty, especially now. The people that I see is like, I am having a hard time. It is different. I am adjusting. It's a difference where I'm like, everything's fine and there are 4 spots left and you should join my 4 spots. And I'm not going to ask any questions because I know that I have the solution. Just be a human being with your people. Like people want human connection. Be who you are. The right people will find you. You'll solve the right problems, but be a human speaking to humans and we can just level the playing field and all fucking rise together. We're not islands. Like, let's just do it together. Also, I'm on the internet everywhere. It's only my name. Chelsea Abril everywhere.
And I think it's so important to find the type of support, friends, coaches, mentors, community, people that can see the greatness in you, support you, love on you, help you move through challenges. And yeah, I think it's just so important that you don't have to do this alone.
You don't have to have it all figured out either. I think that was my one lie. I'm like, once I have it all figured out, then I'll really just go to the moon. No, the point is that we don't have it all figured out. And that's the cool thing. Like we can ask questions and have like empathetic inquiry with people and fucking vibe and it'll all work out.
Vibes.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun. I love finding my people. I love getting to speak to people. We get it. We get it. We're vibing. We understand. This is a huge conversation too. So if you guys want to find us on the internet, come DM us, come be our friend. Like this is a huge conversation. And I'm sure we would both love to continue it with you.
100%. Well, thank you so much for being here, for sharing your heart, your love, your vibes, your energy with the people today. And to those of you out there listening, again, you don't have to have it all figured out. You're on your way, you're doing your thing, and we got you. Until next time, take care. Thank you for joining us on another inspiring episode of the Marley Williams Podcast. We hope you're leaving here with renewed energy and valuable insights to fuel your leadership, coaching, and speaking endeavors. I'd love to invite you to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast to help us reach more aspiring leaders and speakers like you. We have more exciting episodes and remarkable guests lined up, so make sure to tune in next time. Until then, keep leading with purpose, coaching with heart, and speaking with conviction. This is Marley Williams signing off. See you next week.